Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right. I hope you all had a great weekend, and we'll open up. In fact, most of the show today will be taken up by some talented authors. First is a remarkable lady, Elsa Bonstein. She is the author of Find Edsel. It's published by Abbott Press, and you can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com to get a copy of the book. She's here to join us. Elsa, good morning. Congratulations on your book.
I am absolutely thrilled with my book and thrilled to be on live radio with you.
Well, it's great to have you with us, and I got some nice reviews, some nice things that have been said about the book, a little bit of an overview on the book and why you wrote it.
I've always been a writer. I went to college at Syracuse. I've been a journalist my whole life, writing for various publications in New Jersey and nationally. But my dream was always to write something fiction and a thriller, because that's what I like to read. James Patterson, all the rest of that. Stephen King. I grew up on Stephen King. So anyway, I was camping. I have four daughters. I was the Girl Scout leader. I was camping in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey, which is where we lived at the time. And if you've ever been to the Pine Barrens, it's a million-plus acres in the middle of New Jersey, roughly between Philadelphia, Atlantic City, and New York City. And it's a national preserve. There's nothing there, 400 feet of sand, scraggly pine trees, and quiet, rare plants, rare animals. It was just fantastic. And I came outside, and it was so quiet. I thought, what a place for a murder mystery. What a great place. But the thing is, New Jersey has the New Jersey Devil. It has legends of witches and all kinds of things like that. I wanted to write fact-based fiction, so I started out thinking, okay, I've been involved with teenagers my whole life, youth group leader, Girl Scout leader, softball coach, a golf leader. I ran the golf program at our club. Anyway, teenagers, okay. So here's how the story starts. A 17-year-old boy is walking home from his girlfriend's house in Seaside, New Jersey, on the Jersey Shore. He never makes it home. His single mother comes home from working the midnight shift, and his bed has never been slept in. And that's how the mystery starts. Where is Edsel?
All right, I want you to leave it there. The reason I want you to leave it there is because if you tell too much of the story, there are people who won't want to read it. I realize your enthusiasm, and I love your excitement. The book is a terrific book. What was more difficult about writing this? Was it establishing the storyline, or was it the character development?
No, the characters kind of just happened. I mean, I could see them. They were like real people. The fun part of it, but also the most difficult, was the research. I spent a lot of time researching the Pine Barrens. I spent a lot of time with the Forest Fire Service. I went out on forest fires with them. They would call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and take me out on fires. I rode in fire trucks. I went up in fire towers.
Yeah, leave me out of that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I got to know them really well, and they vetted out the whole book. I had the book vetted out by several people that are in the know about the Pine Barrens and the Forest Fire Service. They all read the book before it ever went to print. And that was one of the fun things.
Is this the beginning? So was it difficult writing about the characters? It seems like the storyline comes pretty simple for you.
No, the characters are actually patterned after people that I knew. I mean, working with teens my whole life, I kind of pulled together different teens that I had been acquainted with. The story takes place in 1988. I wanted to put it before cell phones because that would have just complicated the whole story. So the characters would stand out more. And the people, that one of the heroes of the story is a guy named Joshua. He was patterned after the husband of a friend of mine who had been a commando in the Army. That kind of thing. There's a evil doctor. I had a friend who was the head nurse in a brain surgery unit, and I patterned that. I mean, everything that came to me came from people that I knew. I pulled things from here and there.
Is this something that you think could develop into a series?
I've been told that by several people. A television
because
series.
In my look at it, it looks like it's pretty much made for that.
Yeah, I've had about half a dozen or more people tell me that. So it will be exciting.
All right, so you wait till the final results are in, and then you'll know. Is there a message? We all have subliminal messages we'd like other people to derive from books, no matter what the book is about. Is this just a straight novel, or is there a message? Maybe the message is you're better than Stephen King or James Patterson.
Well, the message is that people, most people, are good at heart. And if given the opportunity, we'll do the right thing, and we'll try to help and to save somebody else. And that's what happens in the story. Although the bad guy in the story is really bad, and he's bad in the best kind of way because he's like Hitler. He thinks he's doing good, and that makes him genuinely evil. The most evil people are the ones who think they're doing something good.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, those who are dedicated. That could be another subject we could jump into, but we won't. The name of the book is Find Edsel.
Exactly.
Written by Elsa Bornstein. Her last name is spelled Bornstein. You can get it by going to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Whom would you define as the typical demographic fit for this book, other than simply fans of adventure like the authors you mentioned?
Well, it's funny because I've had teenagers read the book and like it very much, and they're not just relatives of mine. I mean, different teens, but people that read the book pass it on to their kids to read, and the kids loved it, particularly older teenagers. It's kind of for all ages. I knew the book was going to be a success because I didn't know when it first came out. A friend of mine in New Jersey got it on Amazon, read it, and all of a sudden, I didn't know he had it. He calls me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he says, "Damn you, Elsa." I said, "Doug, what's wrong? He said, "I got your book yesterday afternoon," and he said, "I stayed up until 2:30 reading it, and I missed an important 8 o'clock meeting. Damn you."
I don't think I've ever gone that far with a book, but that's one terrific compliment. That's a real
And this answer. Guy has a big mortgage broker firm.
Oh, my God. Well, there you go. You put that in your next book. Elsa, was there any, from your disposition or personality or temperament, I kind of think the answer may be no. But was there anything difficult about writing this?
No, I loved every minute of it. When I had all my research done, I had a whole file cabinet full of research. I took that, my computer, I rented an office in the basement of a real estate office, a tiny place the size of a closet, and for 6 months I went to work every day and wrote the book.
What has your family said about the book? I don't know whether you can get honest appraisals back from those who are family and friends, but I guess part of the important part of it is to have some sense of objectivity, and those who evaluate it don't want to write something great just because you're a close friend or related.
Well, my husband is my biggest fan. He read the book in three different versions, all 330-some pages of it. And it's finally out, and he says, "I don't have to read it now that it's published, do I?"
Oh.
But my kids have all read it. Their friends have read it. It's been on. I have daughters with businesses. They've put it on their websites and on their front desks in some cases. So I have a fan group.
Is this you? I know you said you've written in the past. Is this your first published work?
Yes, it is, but I have another book all ready to go.
How long did it take you to write this?
The first one?
The one you, this particular one here, Find Edsel.
It took me 6 months, but I did 2 years of research before I started.
Well, I'd like to have just focus in the remaining 30 seconds or so we have on the research. How did you actually do the research?
Well, I read about 20 books on the Pine Barrens. I went to a Pine Barrens seminar at Rutgers University. I hiked the Potona Trail. I camped in the Pine Barrens, and I spent a lot of time with the Forest Fire Service.
Wow.
And I kept notes. I keep meticulous notes on everything that I read and talk to. So I have a whole box of notes.
And anything you'd like to say in conclusion? You have less than a minute to go, maybe a concluding remark or two?
Yeah, it's been a great adventure. I recommend writing for everybody. It's a catharsis. If anybody's interested in reading sample chapters, I have a website. It's called elsabonstein.com. And you can read about my research. You can read sample chapters of the book and about me as the writer.
All right. I want to spell your name again for people. It's ELSABONSTEIN.com, ElsaBonstein.com, which is really the best way to get the information. It'll tell you how to make the contact to get the book. Again, it's published by Abbott Press. You can go to BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. Thanks for an inspiring opening to another week here. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for calling me.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll return.
Have you heard about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching Biz TV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, Biz TV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
In my line of work, I'm trying to make a difference. Not $1 billion, but I do want to be able to save for the future. So this year, I partnered with TIAA to help me map out what I should be doing. Together, we came up with a personalized plan for my finances. And now it seems like a life of rewarding work just might pay off for a lifetime.
See how we're helping those who do good do well at the new TIAA.org. TIAA, created to serve, built to perform.
If you have sore joints, discover a breakthrough in joint health. Cosamin ASU. A unique patented formula, Cosamin ASU goes to work fast on a cellular level inside your joints. Its active ingredients are shown to inhibit specific enzymes that break down cartilage as you age, helping protect the joint cushioning cartilage important for comfortable activity. Try Cosamin ASU at Costco.com and other fine retailers.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio. Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
This is Oliver North, host of War Stories on Fox News Channel and author of American Heroes in Special Operations. I just want you to know, Stu Taylor is a great American patriot. Don't miss his show.
All right, we return with the terrific author, Masha Thalwald, and I want to spell her name, T-H-A-U-W-A-L-D. She is the author of Big Southern Hair and Highlights. It's published by Tate Publishing. You can go to tatepublishing.com, amazon.com, or barnesandnoble.com. Welcome to the show, Masha.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I just have to jump right in here and begin. And just give us the significance of the title of the book. It certainly gets your attention. I look at it twice, and I said, what?
Yes, the subtitle is Please Don't Die, D-Y-E Without Us, and it's about two twins that are separated at birth and find each other at the age of 14, and one of the twins lives with her Aunt Lottie, who owns the Big Southern Hair and Highlights Beauty Salon in a fictional town called Trueway, Texas.
How'd you come up with the idea? I think at first, you know, there's a tremendous fascination, I say we collectively, with stories of the South, because there is a huge cultural difference between the North and South.
Yes. Well, of course, I live in the South, so that's part of my inspiration for the title. I came up with the idea because I wanted to write something about building relationships. I'm an educator, and I fight bullying in schools and do workshops on that called It's All About Relationships. And since I also contract with Scholastic, I met a lot of authors who were writing fictional books and saying they needed more middle grade books. So I decided to write this one, and I think it's appropriate for ages 9 to 99. And I had a nephew who passed away with Marfan syndrome. So I decided to make one of the twins have that syndrome, and I talk about that and have been in touch with the Marfan Foundation, which is in Port Washington, New York, so we can give more attention to what goes on with children that battle these kinds of disabilities or differences.
I like what you said. You've already answered two questions I was about to ask you, the combination of fiction and nonfiction, and the fact that there is a message to this book, and you've articulated it very well. The book is Big Southern Hair and Highlights. Please Don't Die Without Us, D-Y-E, a clever play on words. Was this your first attempt at writing, or your first attempt at getting published?
Yes, I had published an educational article in a journal statewide, but this was my first book, and I'm almost through with the sequel called Southern Grit and Glamour, Back in Time, and time is spelled T-H-Y-M-E, because there's a play on that word for my farm in the South called Chillicothe Farm, where they combine time with their vegetables and sell them. So anyway, the twins grow up, and we go on from there.
When you wrote this story, I'm always curious of the thought process, the cognitive process that goes on with authors. Some people just write and it just seems to flow. Others draw an outline. Some sit and write in longhand. I wrote my book with longhand. That's just the only way I was comfortable doing it. Others use computers. Can you just give us some insight into your mindset and how this worked out?
Yes, I actually used a combination of everything you just described. I have a journal where I can carry it with me and write down my thoughts. I did put together an outline chronologically on how I wanted the chapters to play out. There were days when I would be typing on my computer and I would look at the clock and I had been writing for 3 hours and thought it had been 15 minutes. So I'd get lost in the writing. I do rely on my pre-readers. I have adolescents, teenagers, and young adults and middle adults and old adults that are reading my books before I publish, and they give me their thoughts, and I try to incorporate what they ask or say that I should do, and then I acknowledge them in the book. So that's been a fun way for me to have it even better than if I was doing it by myself.
I know it did. People who write business books and books of that nature and specific subjects, it's almost impossible, since there are trillions of bits of information that have been accumulated, that they assimilate this either consciously or unconsciously into their mindset and writing. Did you model this after anybody, anything? Did you find yourself either consciously or on a lower level of consciousness taking information from other books to write this, or would you characterize it as a true original?
Well, I think it is similar to like Steel Magnolias and The Parent Trap, you know, those kinds of things that I read in my adolescence probably had a big play in how I put it together. But I really think the majority of it came from my mind. And a lot of the things that happened to the twins actually happened to me in real life. Like I was caught in a tornado, and I described that in the first chapter. The first twin gets caught in a tornado while riding her bicycle. So when I go to school for author events, I actually ride my bicycle into the library. And I let them know the principal gave me permission, and I talk about what happens with her. I role play her character, and then I come back and tell them that really happened to me in real life. And then we talk about what you do in case you're caught in a tornado out in the open. So that's been my inspiration, is my growing up time.
You got a lot in this. Specifically, where in the South does the story take place, and during what time period?
Well, it starts out in the 60s, and so it's actually my timeline. I was born in 56, and so when the twins are 10, 1966, I start, every other chapter is narrated by the other twin. So I talk about what's going on with their lives before they meet, and then they finally do meet when they're 14, and I go through, and actually the book ends in 1981, so it spans from the 60s to the 80s. And Truway, Texas is a made-up town, but it is close to Del Rio. And then the other twin lives in a made-up town called Whistle Stop, New Mexico, which is close to Las Vegas, New Mexico. A must-visit place if you've never been there.
What was the most rewarding aspect of becoming a published author?
The most rewarding aspect is I was just revisiting a school last week that I'm helping to implement an independent reading plan. And they read my book as a class, and they ran to me, the whole group, when I was in the cafeteria, asking me questions about why did you do this in this chapter? So what was your inspiration for ending it this way? And having those discussions with them and encouraging them to write their own stories has to probably be the most rewarding of the whole process.
Marcia, do the books you read for leisure, for pleasure, do they influence your own writing?
Yes, I think so. I do read a lot of middle grade books. Again, since I'm an educator, I've gotten very interested in what they call middle grade, which is 9 to 14. And then I do read a lot of YA, which is young adult books. So it's interesting to put things that I in those books by that wording.
All right. Very interesting, entertaining, Big Southern here and Highlights. Please don't die without us. Die is spelled D-Y-E. Love that title. It's published by Tate Publishing, and you can get it in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or TatePublishing.com. Thanks, Marsha. It's been great.
Thank you, Stu. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Thank you. This is Stu Taylor. We'll return.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068, 800-957-6068, that's 800-957-6068.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Biz Talk Radio. You're tuned in to Money Matters Boston, 1120 AM WBNW.
I'm Dick Morris. When I visit Boston, I don't go to see the Red Sox. I listen to Stu Taylor on Business.
All right, we return, and joining us right now is Constance W. Hall. She is the author of Valedictorian, A Story of the Hidden Glory of a Troubled Life. It's published by Author House. You can go to authorhouse.com, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, or you can go to directly to her website, which is constancewhall.com. She's here to join us. Congratulations on your book, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, the book is a work of fiction, correct?
Yes, it's a fictionalized story of my father.
All right. And the troubled life, the subtitle of the book, A Story of the Hidden Glory of a Troubled Life. Who are you referring to when you talk about the troubled life?
Well, my father was just like any man, I think, had such high hopes and dreams. But he happened to be born in a terrible circumstance of alcoholic parents, and he was very bright and loved the outdoors, and to escape the alcohol, he would just go off into the woods with his younger brother. At the time, he was 8 years old, and they'd have to fend for themselves for 2-3 months at a time. 8 years old in the winter to hunt and fish and feed because their parents were in the hills of West Virginia drinking themselves silly, and he just wanted to escape that. And so his life from day one was pretty troubled, and he just looked for ways to make it better.
Yeah, we all look for people to model ourselves after, and I'm sure he did too. Was there a real life inspiration behind him?
That's a tough question. I guess it was his father, who actually was a very intelligent man. You know, we all, apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and at some point it's our responsibility to break that cycle. And my dad broke that cycle of alcoholism through watching his family, and he did it through, you know, hard work. He was the first one in his lineage to ever go to high school, and he did it and went as was valedictorian with 9 scholarships, including the National Merit Scholarship. He wanted to be a nuclear physicist at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and he just strove for the highest amount he could reach and never actually achieved that.
Well, we all go through lives, and then if we don't make it one area, we make it another, and most of us have it in a life filled with achievement. Was there a part of this book that stood out for you that kind of sticks in as maybe something you cherish more?
Yes, there is. You know, as I was in my 40s, I watched my father decline and mourn what could have been through things that were going wrong still in his life. And I would snapshot his image in my mind, you know, hunting, living in the woods was his church, was his soulless place. And as I watched him walk off, we lived on a farm to go hunting, I would just memorialize him in my mind because I knew his time was short. And so this story was me writing down everything he told me through my life and what would have been if things had gone his way.
How long has he been deceased?
He died in 2005, and he died 2 years after I wrote the book. So I had no idea when I was writing the book that he was going to die. And it was really a lot of spooky events that happened. Like I mentioned one date in the whole book, and it was August 18th. And then in the book, it's the daughter's character of a bad time, the worst day of her life. And 2 years later, that's the day my dad actually died.
Who is this book intended for, and the reasons you wrote it?
The book, I think, is mostly intended for adults. It's a literary fiction. It encompasses a lot of baby boomer hopes and dreams. It's a very emotional ride that has a dark humor, but you'll laugh, you'll cry, fast moving. And in the end, it gives you that satisfaction of a great ending where, you know, it possibly could change your whole outlook on life.
How do you think it would have affected him if he were alive today in terms of his reaction to it?
Oh, my. I think he would be very mixed about it because he was a proud man, and this talks about the deepest, darkest stuff. So I don't know if he'd be, you know, real happy with that being exposed, but everyone can learn from it.
You know, there are so many books out, Marsha, it makes it so difficult for people to make choices. You just can't reach, you can't read 20 books a week. Why is your book worthy of readership?
My book is 185 pages. You can read it in a day, and it's a page turner, and it just satisfies all those emotional things you're looking for in a book. It doesn't drag. It deserves a readership because it makes a good, valid point about life. It soothes your soul about, am I good enough? Did I make the right choices? Has my life been worth living? And I think everyone can grab something from this book that relates to them specifically.
My guess is, and you and I don't know each other, we've spoken a couple of times, but my guess is I sense that there will be other projects for you in the future.
Oh, this was actually my second completed novel. I have one already done, number one, but the Ballad Explorian, I actually wrote that in 6 weeks and 12 years. It poured out of me in 6 weeks. I lost 17 pounds. I had no idea where it was going when I wrote it. It took a life of its own. And then I spent the last 12 years polishing and refining it to where I really am proud of every comma, every period, every quotation in the whole book. So I've got to go back and do that, number one, and I feel just as excited about the first book as I do Valedictorian.
So if you were to have the opportunity to change something in the book, are you saying, and nothing is perfection, we all strive for it, but are you saying that there's nothing you would change? Any second thoughts after writing it or after the responses you've gotten from it?
No, none at all. To me, this the whole promotion and getting my book to the readership, this is icing and gravy. This is the love part of it, but the hard work has already been done. This legacy is down. I'm so proud of this book. It's like my perfect baby.
Again, the name of the book is Valedictorian, A Story of the Hidden Glory of a Troubled Life. It's written by Marsha Thorwald, and her last name is spelled T-H-A-U-W-A-L-D. The book, the Constance W. Hall. Sorry about that. I had a little brain cramp. You see, now, if I had something to do over, that's what I would do over. It's written by Constance W. Hall, and let me delve a little deeper into this by asking you, is there anybody who has given you any feedback that you found to be enlightening, informative, shocking?
I have been mostly surprised at the amount of emotion that my readers have gotten out of the book. I've had people from 30 years old to 75 years old reading, and they've all come back and said that they loved it to the point of tears and they couldn't put it down. I was not expecting that. I was just expecting a nice story about my dad, something personal that I wanted to put down, but it grew as I wrote it, and it touched me so well, and I'm just surprised at how much it is touching others.
Constance, if people go to your website, which is ConstanceWHall.com, what will they find on that website that would complement our conversation here today?
They would find everything they need to know. They'd see photos, actually a photo of my father, of myself, the autobiography of you know, who I am, my author story, how to purchase the book, some samples of readers, and why I wrote the book. It's just a little three-page website of shot with photos of my home here in Eastern North Carolina on the water. It's a pretty little site, but it gives you everything you need to know and intrigues you to push that button and get a copy of your own, and has reviews and events and book signing dates.
All right. Now, if this question doesn't hit home, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to rephrase it. But is there a particular style you utilize when you write?
I don't know how to label the style, but I would have to say hardcore. There's no fluff. I'm pretty. I'm a direct person, and I think that comes from being 30 years in the medical field. I mean, I tell it like it is.
I love that.
And yeah, that's why it's such a fast-moving book.
All right, the book is Valedictorian: A Story of the Hidden Glory of a Troubled Life by Constance W. Hall, Author House. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
We'll be back.
If you have sore joints, discover a breakthrough in joint health. Cosamin ASU. A unique patented formula, Cosamin ASU goes to work fast on a cellular level inside your joints. Its active ingredients are shown to inhibit specific enzymes that break down cartilage as you age, helping protect the joint cushion and cartilage important for comfortable activity. Try Cosamin ASU at Costco.com and other fine retailers.
And now, a touching moment while staying in touch with Geico.
It was a warm summer day. I was just sitting on a porch watching a babbling brook roll by. Then, out of the blue, I got an update from my Geico app saying my claim had been processed. I felt so connected to nature, to Geico. I stayed there the whole afternoon until that guy told me to stop trespassing on his porch. Sheesh, what was his problem?
Claim status updates, just a few taps away on the Geico app.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio.
Stories of the Legal Exchange, Sundays 2 to 3, a.m. 1120, WBNW.
This is Phyllis Schlafly, and I did an interview with Stu Taylor, and he really knew how to ask the questions. It was a great interview. I appreciate him reading my new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom.
The great Phyllis Schlafly, she's 90 years old. And I saw her on television the other day, and God bless her, if I can say that without getting thrown off the air. She is backing Trump, and you see the split, a lot of people backing Trump, and Ted Cruz garnering some support. Just forget about Marco Rubio. John Kasich is going to stay in this race if he wins Ohio. And while I don't dislike John Kasich personally, I think he's a gentleman. And that may be one of the problems when you get into politics. I mean, the culture has changed dramatically. Trump isn't made out to be what a lot of people are making him out to be. And some have used the analogy to Adolf Hitler. It's absolutely not true. He's doing what he's always done. He plays the game hard. He plays the game fast and furious. And, if you don't want Trump, vote for someone else. But let's all stop with the criticism. And if you're a conservative, let's start looking at Hillary Clinton, who will be the nominee, because she ain't going to jail. She's not going to be wearing one of those orange pantsuits, unfortunately. And if she is, I'd be the happiest one to come on here and say, you know, I'd like to say I can't believe that I'm wrong, but I'll admit it. I'd love to come on to say that. I don't think it's going to happen because everything is being glossed over. All of the real bad stuff about Hillary is being glossed over. And, you know, it's funny. She talks about the war on women. All she has to do is look at her husband. She talks about Trump being a pathological liar. Who's more of a pathological liar than Hillary Clinton? I can only think of one person, and that may be Barack Obama. So isn't it funny how people can either never see themselves or don't acknowledge what they are or know what they are in a state of denial for political purposes, A, B, C, all of the above aforementioned regarding Hillary Clinton. I can't predict the outcome of these elections. Who would have predicted that Bernie Sanders would have beaten Hillary Clinton in Michigan? But I can say that the level of tension has been elevated, and I love the remark that Trump made when he talked about fights. There haven't been any old fights. There was only that one incident with that guy who gave that protester a jaw, 78 years old. And all Trump had to say is, I'm going to look at this and I may take care of his legal bill. But nobody says anything, any criticism of Hillary Clinton. She can do what she wants. Barack Obama can do what he wants. This is what I want, and this is why people want Trump. I am so sick of the double standard out there. I am just fed up with it. Watch George Stephanopoulos on Sunday morning with his show. And, I mean, all of the left-wingers who come on. You know, I want to tell you two more. He wasn't on this week. David Brooks of the New York Times. How does anyone label him a conservative? And one of the big disappointments, and I can cite a number of them who had just sold out, Bill Kristol, the son of the great founder, many people think of conservatism along with Buckley, Bill Kristol. Shame on him. I used to be a great admirer of him, no longer. Charles Krauthammer, George Will, both of whom have been guests on my show. And you can go to my homepage at StuTaylor.com and listen to my interviews with him, with both of them. But I'm not running for president. I'm sure nobody's interested in what my thoughts are, but I'm not gonna sell out. Maybe it's because I want to be fair. You know, people say, you know, you've had a long, happy marriage and you claim you've been faithful, and I have. But I can't make the judgment. What would have I done if I had a wife whom I did not like? We had a lousy marriage. So I'm not holier than thou preaching. I'm saying that I've been very lucky on these accords, and I would like to think if I were in politics, I think the best thing I could say would be that I wouldn't lie. There are ways, and these guys and women, they're all adept at avoiding criticism. And a lot of the criticism is now being leveled at the sellout. And this is what I mean when I talk about a sellout. Chris Christie, who looked terribly, terrible behind Donald Trump when he supported him. I mean, I just couldn't believe that was Chris Christie. He looked like he didn't want to be there. He denied it. Sometimes you can't deny what you see. And the other one is now Ben Carson. Well, Ben Carson apparently has a price as well. I don't think he was at all impressed in many ways by Donald Trump. And you know, what is it, Secretary of Education or Health Human? I don't know. He's going to get some job in the administration, you see, because that's what politics are about. And even Donald Trump can't divorce himself from that. So if somebody endorses, and I don't know. I mean, we have to wait and see. He has to become president. And then we'll see whom he chooses for his cabinet. But one of the things that surprises me so much about this entire campaign, which makes me think that I should have run for president, is that how little you know can be overlooked. In terms of depth, I'm amazed at Donald Trump's macro approach to this. Well, all of the other ones involved in the race have been able to offer some real in-depth detail about their plans, all of their plans on health care, on our foreign policy, on Social Security entitlements, and the economy. Trump does it in sound bites. You see, he's the consummate politician, even though he admits he hates becoming a politician. But it's amazing someone has gotten that far when you've got all of these people who have run with pretty impressive credentials. Well, that tells you what Washington is. As far as the protests, I believe a lot of these protests are planted. Take a look at the people whom they're putting aside and calling out. Are they plants? This goes on all the time. The Alinsky-like, and Ben Carson said this on the Today Show this morning, the Alinsky-like rallies with people who are set up to come in to disturb things. I don't have any doubt about it. And I think, you know, Trump might tone down the rhetoric a little. He might tone it down a lot. But you have to realize from his perspective, he's doing what's working, although this is not a slam dunk. I think Florida will be a win. I think that'll be the end of Marco Rubio. And good riddance, Marco. I don't dislike you, but good riddance. This job isn't for you. I mean, you might even show up. You didn't attend many of the votes that went on in Congress. And John Kasich in a tight race. In Ohio, it's after tomorrow, we're going to have a lot to talk about. This is Stu Taylor saying, I hope you have a lot to talk about today and enjoy the week. See you tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.